Usually my wife and I are there to greet you. We're just so happy that you're here. God bless you. Part two of our message here this morning, we are talking about getting unstuck. And we want to see it from the point of view of a Christian getting unstuck, okay? We know the world is stuck. We know the world is lost. And we know the world needs Jesus. But many times Christians get unstuck. And last week we talked about the path of Chokmah. And that is a Hebrew word for wisdom. Today we're going to talk about how to host the holy. And now, as we host the holy, or the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, we know that the Bible calls him very specifically the Spirit of Wisdom. And there is a passage in the Old Testament, if you wouldn't mind turning there, Genesis chapter 24, that really breaks down how we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be saying already, Pastor, why are we turning to the Old Testament to talk about the Holy Spirit? Why don't we turn to the book of Acts? Why don't we get into the New Testament? Let me just tell you, if the only book of the Bible you had was the book of Genesis, you'd have enough. In the book of Genesis is all the pneumatology. Pneuma is the Greek word for Holy Spirit. Ology, study of. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, pneumatology is almost complete. I would say it is complete. You can find out everything you really want to know about the Holy Spirit just by reading the book of Genesis. And you're like, what? That's the first book of the Bible. How could that be? How about soteriology? That's the study of salvation. Yes, that story is in there as well, over and over again. We're going to actually see that story this morning. What are some other things that we can learn from the story this morning? We can learn that God wants three things from us, and I'm just going to give you those three things right away. Number one, God is in pursuit of relationship with us. God wants a real relationship with you. Not just with the church or the pastor or with what the church is doing. It's not an activity. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. God wants to know you, but even more than that, he wants you to know him. There's lots of people that know a lot of things about God, but there's very few people who actually know God. And by knowing him, I mean having that intimate relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Amen? The other thing is that God, as we host the Holy Ghost in our life, God is looking for active faith. Not just a belief that he is, but in that God is motion sensitive. God wants us to have such a relationship with him that we're willing to act on our faith. Not just sit back and pray that he acts, but know that he's already acted. In that we obey by faith what we see in the scriptures, and as a response, God blesses us. A motion-sensitive God. And then finally, through the Holy Spirit, God wants us to have a relationship that is a partnership. And that's where we'll land the plane this morning, especially as we talk about how Jesus in the New Testament said, listen, guys, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. I've called you friends because servants don't know what their master is doing. They don't know the details. In other words, Jesus is saying, I want you to know the details of my mission, and I want you to join me in that mission. Well, there's a hard part of that mission, and that was the cross. And that was the part that you and I could not do for ourselves. But praise God, Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, went to the cross for our salvation. And he did the hard part so that together we could partner with him. There's a Greek word that we'll use at that time called, and I'm going to break it down here for you, koinonia. Koinonia. That means a friendship and a partnership of love. And that's the verbiage that Jesus used of the Spirit. And in fact, Paul uses that same verbiage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, where he says we have a partnership or a communion, a koinonia, with the Spirit of wisdom. Say Spirit of wisdom. So see, the Holy Spirit is not just coming to your mundane life that life that you live 9 to 5 every day, paying bills, getting things done, being invited into your life, but the Holy Spirit wants to actually make you a partner with Jesus and a love partner in the mission that God has for you. If you're there in Genesis chapter 24, I want to read just a few verses, and then we'll break this typological story down to see how it has salvation aspects and relation aspects by faith. It says, now Abraham, who is Abraham? Say, father of many nations. Now some of you are like, father Abraham had many sons, right? Simon says, we're done. Okay, so now every time I see that word Abraham, I want you to see, you know his name was changed. It was Abram to Abraham so that he could represent father. So he's going to represent in the story father for us, okay? It says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant, now it's going to go unnamed in the story, but we know who this servant is because we see in the preceding chapters and the succeeding chapters that this is Eleazar. Okay, but it's unnamed at this point. I'll tell you why in just a minute. It says, the oldest servant of his house who ruled, I want you to see this, over all that he had. I want you to see that there is a father in heaven, and then there is a part of God that actually is the distributor of all that the father has promised. Look at it this way. God the Father has promised you many blessings. Jesus, the Son, came down and paid the price so that you could have those blessings. But it's the Holy Spirit that right now is distributing, come on, he's distributing all these blessings into your life. If you don't learn how to be hospitable to the Holy Spirit, there are many blessings that have been provided for you that you're not going to see in your life. And it's not because the Father hasn't promised it. It's not because the Son hasn't paid for it. It's because you and I were not sensitive to His Spirit and inviting Him completely into our lives. It says, please put your hand under my thigh. I'm not going to go into that. There's some Hebrew stuff there. Not going to worry about that right now. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son. Who's the son? The son here is Isaac. Isaac is called the child of promise. Who is Jesus? He is the child of promise. This happens to be the longest chapter in the book of Genesis because it is a very important chapter in the book of Genesis. It explains everything you need to know to be blessed and have the favor of God in your life. I want you to see, but just two chapters earlier, in Genesis chapter 22, the child of promise is with the father. They tell Eleazar, remember that guy we're talking about, the servant? You stay here, right, while the child and I go up on this mountain. The mountain is Moriah. Today, part of that area is called Calvary. This is the place where Jesus died, the child of promise. And this Abraham and Isaac went up that mountain, and Isaac, come on, carried the wood. He carried the wood for the sacrifice. Abraham, out of faith, said to Eleazar, his servant, he said this. He said, the child and I will return. Come on. Yeah. Abraham said out of faith something he didn't completely understand in the natural. This doesn't make sense. I know I'm going to go up there. I'm going to have to offer the child a promise. But somehow, maybe God will resurrect him. Somehow, the child and I will return. We know what happened when they got to the top of that mountain, that God provided a ram in the thicket. But there's a Hebrew phrase where Abraham, in chapter 22, it says, Abraham saw the provision of the Lord. There's more there than just seeing a ram caught in the thicket. I believe that he saw the salvation of God and the salvation plan of God that would happen thousands of years later in the same spot, come on, church, in the same spot that he was being tested by his faith. Can I just tell you that you serve a God that wants relationship? But you also serve a God who wants active faith. It wasn't just Abraham's faith that got him blessed in that moment. It was his active faith. Come on, let me teach something this morning. It wasn't just Noah's faith that saved him from the flood. If he didn't build a honking boat, church, and we're here today knowing what James chapter 2, verse 17 tells us, faith without works is dead, being alone. Without getting you caught up into a legalistic idea here, I just want to share with you, if you think you have faith, then just know you should be doing something with it. Because that's true faith. And that's the argument James is making. James isn't saying that you somehow please God by works. He's saying, I'll tell you what true faith is. True faith doesn't sit on the sidelines. True faith acts with emotion-sensitive God. And so we see that Abraham, in that moment, could have seen the full sacrifice of God and plan of God in Jesus Christ, in the Father offering his son. It says, the child of promise, or Isaac here, it says, from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Now jump on down to verse 22, if you don't mind. They get there. Eleazar gets there. He gets there with 10 camels. Say 10. I wish I could spend more time preaching on what that means, but think of the 10 commandments. Think of up to this point, this is all they know that is revelatory on a relationship with God. Keeping the law, keeping the law, keeping the law. Until they get to this well and they meet this woman by the name of Rebecca. Now, I'm going to open this up just a little bit later on her name, but I'll give you just a morsel right now. Rebecca means captivating. It means captivating. If you break that word down, captive, aiding, it means something so or someone so beautiful that you hold them captive with your beauty. But the Bible says nothing about her actions in and of themselves being connected with her looks. It just says that she did some watering. It just says that she poured herself out and she was able in this moment to not only water all of the travelers that came, Eleazar and his men, but she watered all the camels. Can I just tell you this? 20 gallons of water every camel could drink. So 20 gallons times 10 camels. Do you know how much effort it takes to obey the law? Maybe you don't. It's almost impossible. We're in an arid climate. Imagine going to a well, dipping into that well 20 times for 10 camels, and then getting all of them something to drink. It would have taken all day because you got to lower it down. You got to bring it back up. See, you and I just go and we hit the Brita, man. You know, we hit the mowing. And it's like, look, it's here. Hallelujah. Holiday miracle. You got to lower it down. You got to bring it back up. You got to water. And you got to do this 20 times for every 10 of these camels and all of the men. This is Rebecca. What is her beauty? Her beauty, watch this. Her beauty is not her fleshly demeanor or countenance. Her beauty is her active, it's her active faith. It's her faith in action. So watch the response now from Eleazar. Verse 22, when the camels had finished drinking, this is going to be at the end of the day. It's going to be at the end of the day. When the camels finished drinking, man, I'd be about wore out. It's hard for me to sometimes just to, you know, when I was a kid growing up, my dad used to say, are you thirsty? And I'd say, yeah. And he's like, the hose is out there, you know. And I'd be like, okay, I drink from the hose. Come on. Nobody else drink from the garden hose? Listen, millennials, life was different at one time. I'm a Gen Xer, and we drank from the hose, right? I mean, we did it all day long. But to go in the house, to pour a cup every time you're playing baseball, every three or four innings, that's a lot of work, right? So I want you to see something. The beauty was actually in her active faith. It says, when the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a becca and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Now that's $20,000 today worth of gold jewelry. Can I just tell you that if you will host the Holy Ghost in your life, that there are gifts that God has already paid for and promised you. He doesn't have to produce them. He doesn't have to get that all going. It's already yours. If you'll just host His Spirit, His servant, the Holy Spirit, His servant, the Holy Spirit, will make sure that you receive everything the Father has promised and everything the Son has paid for. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we break this down just a bit further, I pray this morning that we would understand that the number one relationship in our life is our relationship with the Spirit of the living God. Help me get it, God. It's so important that I understand. The best friend I will ever have here on earth is the Holy Spirit. The voice of wisdom, the voice of knowledge, instruction, the paraclete, the comforter, the counselor is your Spirit. God, I've looked for in man and in others what I can only get from the Holy Ghost. My time with you and the Holy Spirit is so precious, God. Help me to get it today. Help us to get it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you of something this morning. A day's worth of favor is worth 1,000 years of work. A day's worth of favor. You were always in the company of somebody that's watching you that can promote you. You were always in the company of somebody that's looking for an opportunity to bless you. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. That someone is watching you. Is there an opportunity? Can I distribute now, Lord? Can I give now what you provided? Can I give now what you promised? When you have the favor of God on your life, life is not hard work anymore. I want you to see this woman goes from watering 20 times, 10 camels, to being covered in gold. I just wonder how hard your life is right now and how much easier it could be. And I'm not saying your circumstances will change, but I'm here to tell you that the power and the presence and the performance that comes from the Holy Spirit through you can make your life blessed, man. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you might want to try it. I just invite you to try it. Just try getting to know the Holy Spirit. This man by the name of Eleazar, you break his name down in Hebrew. El is God. Azar is helper. Jesus, 3 times in the New Testament, calls the Holy Spirit your helper. He is carrying all the gifts. He is carrying the abundant supply. Why is he carrying it? He's been sent by the Father to find for the Son a bride. Oh, come on. Do you love God's word or not?
Yes.
You are the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Who? What are you now? You. You are the bride of Christ. The Holy Spirit is in pursuit of the bride of Christ. To bless her. To adorn her. To cover her. Not only in a robe of righteousness that the Son has provided, but in gifts and in power and in miracles. Have you had any miracles in your life? If not any lately, can you please check your time with the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
You don't believe in miracles? Really? Really? Can I just help you understand something this morning? You began as a single cell. The fact that you're still breathing is a honking miracle. And for some of you, it really is a miracle. This guy, I can't even make it into the parking lot without almost getting arrested. Miracles are happening every day. Did you know when you were, this ain't any of my notes. Did you know that when you were being formed in your mother's womb, that God formed your spine first? He put your spine together first so that you'd come out upright? God was doing miracles long before you even knew how to define what a miracle is, before you even had a dictionary, before you even knew how to spell it. And you and I live in a world today where we are desperate for this helper. He has everything you need for the success that God has called you to. Can I just tell you something that in the Old Testament, they called the favor of God the presence of God. And the presence and the favor of God was the Ruah of God, the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the high priest, after offering the sacrifice, would come out and pronounce the Aaronic priesthood blessing. And in that blessing, he would say, watch this, he would say, may his face shine upon you. In other words, they seen the favor of God as the face of God. You need to understand that God's face is in his spirit now, and it wants to shine on your life. When a little baby is born, there's something that happens inside of its brain. There's a part of its brain, right, that responds with joy to the caregiver or the mother or the father's face. We got these little babies in our church, and I just love it, man, because I got the goofiest looking face that a man could ever have. But I get in and I say things I'd never say to you. Maybe I would. I mean, if it got an offering out of you, I might. But I just go, yeah. And I act like a complete idiot in front of them just to see them smile. Because that joy response comes from the face. And that face in your spirit responds with joy to his favor. But what you've been missing in your life, you're missing any joy. What you're missing is time with the spending time with the favor of God and the face of God in his spirit. It's not an it. It's a real person who wants to have a relationship with you.
Yes.
And you're thinking maybe I'll just pray to him when things get a little bit nasty or whatever else. No. He wants to have complete relationship. He wants you to pour your life out so that the Son can pour his spirit in. And here's what happens here. Rebecca, she's doing something mundane. It's just the old drag, man. The ladies had to go to the well every single day. They had to go to the well and they had to bring back enough water so that all the animals and all the cattle and you know, their dads and their mothers and everybody had something to drink. It was laborious. If you've ever carried water, you know water is heavy. Water is very heavy. It's not light like air. It's heavy to carry. And you've got to carry it through an arid climate to get back to people who are desperate for it. The Bible in the Old Testament and New likens the Spirit of God to water. Jesus even said, man will not just be born by water, but also of the Spirit. We know that when Jesus was baptized in water, the Ruah of God or the Pneuma of God came down as a dove upon him, and that favor rested upon him. It never left. Amen. Heavens were opened. The favor is here. In the Old Testament, there was something said of the Messiah, and it was this: may the favor of God rest upon him continually. Jesus paved the way so that you could have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, careful here, because some of you are going to cut yourself out, but listen carefully. So no matter what lifestyle you've come out of, you can still have relationship with the Holy Spirit through faith and repentance. You and I want to look at the 10 camels. We want to look at those. Now, my wife, we were in Israel. I put my wife on a camel. I said, honey, you want to ride a camel? She said, are you kidding me? I don't want to get it. Now, if you're up close to these suckers, man, they're biggins. They're biggins. I put her on a camel. It cost me $5. Put her up on a camel. I videotaped the whole thing. She got off it. Whoo, that was fun. She said, you want to go? I said, absolutely not. No way. No way. No way. That's the way the law is. It's taller than me. It's bigger than me. It's going to require more than I can probably provide it. There's no way that I can keep up with it. The only way that I can even come close is for someone else to complete it for me. And Jesus did. And then he not only paved the way, but he also gave me the presence of his Spirit. And God wants you to know that presence. It's motion activated. It's relationship activated. It's partnership activated. Let me just give you the idea of what happens when you invite the Holy Spirit into your life every single day. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. It's talking about spiritual gifts. Think of Eleazar. He had these gifts. Wouldn't it be nice to stop drawing out of the well and start wearing some gold? Gold. Wouldn't it be nice, huh? Ladies, you're like, put a ring on it if you know. Right? Come on. Every kiss begins with K. You know it. Right? When I got married to my wife, I wanted to get one of those bread ties, you know. Just kind of make it into a fashion, into a ring. What was that bad, honey? I'm sorry. You know, just fashion in a ring and put that on. And she had been so happy with that. Yeah, okay, you don't know. You think she would have? I'm telling you what, she had knocked me silly. It took us weeks to pick out that ring. I don't have any idea what he's picked out for me. And I need these things in my life. But more than I need the gifts, I need the gift giver. And in knowing him, he distributes them. But if you don't invite him over to your house, if you don't invite him into your life, you ain't getting any. Hello. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, it says, while God also bore witness by many signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Can I just show you? Watch this. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts, all distributed by the Holy Spirit. You say, where are they today? The question should be changed to, where is he today? Yeah. Because you get the gift giver, you get the gifts. Yeah. Are we seeking him? Are we in relationship with him? Is he invited into our life? And are we completely poured out into him so that God can pour his blessings into us? We serve a relationship activated God. We see the greatest blessing ever in Rebecca's actions. What does she do? She hosted this guy she never met before. When I first met the Holy Spirit, I was really taken back. I thought God was a long bearded man like from Duck Dynasty. I'm not lying. Well, Duck Dynasty wasn't around back then, but I'm just, you know, I guess I'm getting older than I think I am. But I was a long bearded guy, and I thought he had thunderbolts in both his hands, and he couldn't wait to just zap my rear end for all the dumb stuff I've done. You got a different picture. You probably thought God was ho-ho. You thought he was Santa. That was not what I thought he was. I thought he was judgment. I thought he was angry at me. I thought he was mad at me. Let me help you out with something. God is in a good mood about you. Yeah. There are several scriptures in the Psalms that says he actually dances over you. And sings too. I can't do either well. And I want to tell you, you really don't want to see me dance. But I do get happy when I see you. Okay? I mean, this right here is probably the best. Yeah, I can do one of these. And I can. Okay? You know if I do that, I'm happy to see you. God is not angry. God wants to love on you. He wants to show you his love. He knows it's what you've been looking for and what you've been missing. All that's required is you open your heart up and host in relationship with him. When he shows up, I want you to see this, what Rebecca did. It's in regards to Genesis 20, chapter 24, verse 21. It says, Eleazar, the man, gazed at her silence, waiting and wondering if she was the one, the eternal one, God had intended for Isaac, the one who would make his journey a success. You see, the Holy Spirit is just gazing at you. Are you the one? Are you open? Are you ready? Do you want what God has for you? Do you really, really want it? Or are you just playing with God? Are you going to be faithful? Because I'm here to pick up a wife for the son. He's been faithful. Are you going to be faithful? I'm watching you. You see, you and I go to work and we do all these things all day long. We think, hey, man, no big deal. You know, it's just the mundane things of life. It's just like going to the well every single day and making sure the camel's got something to drink and people to drink. And come on, get out of my way, Sister Yoho. Man, yesterday you were first in line. It's my turn today. You know, I'm here to be first in line. And I got to carry all this water back in the middle of all that mundane activity. The helper shows up and he's looking. I want to tell you something. In the last couple weeks of your life, the The Holy Spirit has showed up unannounced in your life, and He's watched and seen if you were ready for something. You've got to reap, you've got to have a new normal and understanding that there isn't, every day is not just circumstance and happenstance. There are no circumstances with God. As soon as the sun comes up, there's new mercies, the Bible says. So then the Holy Spirit say, okay, is it today? Today? All Rebecca had to do was come there in a really bad mood, just like I do, just like you do. Come to that well in a really bad mood and just say, don't get in my way today. Not today, Satan. You know what? You know what? Y'all can get your own water. I'm tired of this. This is ridiculous. All she had to do is show up with an attitude or a tude. And she would have missed the helper sent to get her and bless her. She didn't. She was open to relationship. I want to invite you to do something crazy. Wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's go on a journey today. Good morning, best friend. Good morning, best friend. Where would you take me today? I'll tell you why that's crazy. Your day's going to be really weird. You say, oh, it's not going to be weird. You know what they used to call following the Holy Spirit in Europe, early church used to call it a wild goose chase. Yeah. Anagata Glida. Not Anagata Davida. That's a song. Not that song. Anagata Glida. Wild goose chase. Jesus said, the Spirit's like the wind. You can't anticipate. Do you care about this? The Spirit's like the wind. You're never going to be able to know where it blows. You're just going to have to adjust your sails so that you... And as your day progresses, the Spirit's going to lead you to talk to this person, do this, pray about that, and you're going to start seeing miracles. And it's going to go, you're going to go, wow, this is weird. I've never seen miracles before. Like it's not the norm. When in the presence of God, blessings and favor or miracles are the normative.
That's right.
Who am I talking to? I want you to see that God wants you to spend time with His Spirit. Watch this. If you're not spending time cultivating your relationship with the Spirit, it's not because you don't have the time. I'll tell you why. It's because you don't have a priority on the relationship in the first place. And the reason why, watch this. The reason why you don't have a priority on it is this. Whatever's first in your life, you'll make time for. I'm going to say it again. Whatever's first or whoever is first in your life, you will make time for. I love Sarah very, very much. I make time for her because I want to stay married. I want to stay blessed and I want to eat. All right? You made time this morning to come here. You made time because it's important to you. It's a priority to you. If the Holy Spirit is a priority to you, you will have time. You just need to make time. That means you will have to push something out of your calendar. You say, my life's going to be pure chaos if I spend an hour in prayer in the morning with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You'll be so blessed. Your day will go so much easier. Listen, you'll only have to work 5 hours instead of eight or maybe 10.
Yeah.
I don't know who wants to be blessed. The Spirit is always first, then God blesses. Did you know that like all of creation was a miracle? Ex nihilo, all of this out of nothing, right? So that all starts with the Holy Spirit coming and hovering over. Then the Word says, let there be light. Some of you were even praying for direction, and God says, stop praying for direction. Listen to me. Stop praying for direction. Pray for the Holy Spirit to hover in your life. Then light. Ah. Some of you are going to throw a tomato at me later. You're going to, you told me not to pray for direction. Is that biblical? God wants you to have direction, but first He wants you to know Him.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I want to know where to go. And God says, where you're going to go is no big deal. Just know me.
Yes.
And if you know me, you can follow me to get there. I told you years ago, when I first came to this church, the most important place besides this church in this location was Dietz's, not Walmart. And I asked Vince Petrella why it's so important. He says, you'll know when you get there. And he said, I said, well, how am I going to know to get there? Can you give me directions? He says, no, just get in the van and go with me. Some of you are praying for direction on every little honking thing in your life, and all you need to know is events. No, you need to know the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Get in his van,
yeah,
and he'll take you there.
There you go.
Man, this is simple, kids.
Yeah.
Come on, quit throwing blocks. Don't get all upset. Jungle juice is coming, and we'll even have chocolate milk today.
Bye.
Praise the Lord. And you're like, Pastor, I don't even know what you're talking about. I watch what happens here. She starts giving them something to drink. And here's the thing. There's the word please by this unnamed servant. Eleazar, I believe, is his name. And then there's the words let me. He's a person who has feelings. He's a person who wants, he's not going to dominate your life. He's not a dictator. He's not going to push his way into your life. And then there's these words, these phrases, from her picture. What does that mean? It symbolizes your schedule. It symbolizes your attention. It symbolizes your affection. From her picture, she poured out. And God looked at that as active faith. Why? Because we serve a motion-activated God. Almost done. When I travel, and I do so sometimes. I don't like to drive a lot because I got to stop all the time and go to the bathroom and then get more coffee. And then it's just a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but you, yeah. And so then I got to stop in these places, and I go in these places, and you know, they got these Dyson things where that's not getting my hands dry, because I got two dudes right after me, and I'm very anxious if somebody's standing here in a bathroom. I don't know what that is. You know, I like a lot of space in the bathroom. Just me. Okay. And, but anyway, you go into these places and like, I go to wash my hands and there's nothing to touch. But how do you know if it's working? So sometimes I touch it anyways. And you're not supposed to touch. No touchy. You get sicky. So the soap, put your hand under there, motion activated. Then there's soap comes out sometimes.
Yep.
Then you go over the water. Next step, go over the water, right? Put it underneath there. Come on. I want to get out of here. It's stinky in here. You get a little bit of water, right? And then next step, you put your hands inside that Dyson, right? Or we have options at this bathroom. Or you can get the paper towel. You're going to get one little tiny, and it's this, right? And you're just trying to, you know, but even with all these, you're like, come on. And it's so you don't have to touch anything. And some bathrooms, they've got a maze so that when you get in there, you don't even have to touch a door to get out. And the problem with that maze is usually there's not a female figure or a male figure on the door, and I end up going in the wrong one. And I don't like it. I don't like that so much. But all these things are motion active. I go with my wife shopping. We go up to like Kroger's or Walmart or whatever, and we go in, and you step in front of the door, and it gets out of your way. And then you walk right through, and you're walking right back out the same way. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Can I just tell you that spiritually, there are doors that are never going to open for you if you don't step up to them. You haven't stepped up. You sat up, but you didn't step up. And God's saying, until you act in faith, you're not going to see my distributor, my helper, distribute to you what I provided, promised for you, because you haven't stepped up. As soon as you step up to that door is going to open up and destiny is going to be right in front of you. You got to step up. You say, well, I've never done it before. I don't even know how it works. You don't have to know how it works. I don't know how any of that stuff I just told you about, I don't know how it works. I just seen other people doing it. I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. And I walk up and I do the same thing, and I try to figure out where it'll get me, and it gets me, and I'm out the door. I don't want to touch anything. And I don't want to tell you spiritually, God's not really concerned about your hands being on things either. Actually, you could contaminate things by putting your effort, by putting your effort and your self-reliance on it. God's just saying, just step up and just act. And I will pour, and I'll make sure the doors are open, and all you got to do is walk through.
Yeah.
Now, you can live that life with the Lord, or you can struggle and knock your head into the wall all you want, go to school of hard knocks for the rest of your life, and then complain to the pastor about once a year why none of this spiritual stuff works. Well, it ain't working in your life because you aren't letting God be God. Just like a baby, when you came out, you started gripping everything. Right? God wants you to do this, not this. God didn't give you spiritual ape hangers so that you could be like this with all of his blessings. Hold on, it's going to get away from you. Hey, you know, come on, Harleys. Even got a few sound effects. That's great. God wants you to live like this in his spirit. So she pours herself out and then activates what God can then pour into her. James 4:8, draw an eye to God, he'll draw an eye to you. Did you see that? What's first? I want God to draw an eye to me. God says, well, I'll do that as soon as you draw an eye to me. Yeah. The promise is contingent to the premise. The premise is you draw an eye to God. God says, as soon as you move, I will. Then Jesus says, seek, you'll find. Knock, door will be open to you. Ask, you shall receive. He doesn't say you'll get all those things and then you go around asking. Now that'd be ridiculous anyway, wouldn't it? I got a whole loaf of bread and a whole steak from God, and I'm knocking on more doors. You don't need, listen, the promise is contingent on the premise. The premise is you need to act in faith. That's what she did. She acted in faith. Finally, say finally. Dear God, finally. He's done. He's almost done. Well, he always says that, and then it's a, Here's the third one. We serve a God of relationship and a God that wants acted faith from us, but also we serve a God of partnership. He wants to partner. He wants us to partner with him in his mission. And I'm going to do the best I can with this. I'm probably hack it up bad, but I've been studying superheroes, you know, and because their stories kind of, many of their stories mimic what we all want in God, especially Superman. Superman's story is, even if you check out like his dad's name, Kal-El, and El's in the name. Yeah. It, you know, and he's the son of, and he, oh man, it's just, you know, somebody's trying to find God and they just don't know how to say Jesus. Okay, but anyway, studying superheroes, and they got these sidekicks. Now, not so much in the Marvel universe. For you big geeks, you're going to catch me later and go, oh, let me tell you all about Stan Lee. And I'm going to be like bored in 3 seconds. And you're like, I'm bored in 3 seconds. Most stuff you say, Pastor. Well, you're stuck. This is about being unstuck, but I can't unstuck you from that. So Stan Lee didn't have a lot of sidekicks for his superheroes because he thought that to put, most of the time they were teenagers, to put a teenager in that much harm would be unethical, right? But DC Comics, they got no problem with sidekicks. They put all kinds of kids in the middle of fights with evil. You know? That's why I like DC Comics. Now, I know you're going to get mad, but that's why I like it a little bit. Now, Stan Lee had a few of them. How many of you know Iron Man had a sidekick? What's his name? Okay, preaching to somebody else. You know, he had a sidekick. Yeah. Yeah. And how many of you know Wonder Woman had a sidekick? Yeah, Wonder Girl. How many of you know that? You don't know these things? I'm here to tell you. Yeah. I'm here to say, hey, Captain America had a sidekick. Oh, come on. From the comics, it's Bucky. It's Bucky. Okay, let's stand. Let's go to Lord in prayer. No, I was just kidding. I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there. We got to do communion in a minute, man. Gee whiz. The sidekicks never do anything really cool. They get to be there for the victory, though. It's the superhero that fights the battle, has all the power, and brings the sidekick with him. Now, you might argue a little bit, Robin pulls off some stuff with Batman. But I think, you know, I'm just going to tell you something about that, okay? Robin wouldn't be able to do a thing without Batman.
That's true.
Batman's got all the gifts. He's got the tool belt. He's got all the cool stuff. Robin, what's he got? Tights? He's got tights. I just went to see this Christmas thing with my wife and all these men or ballerinas in tights. I didn't like that. I couldn't wait for it to be over, but I love my wife, and so I took her. You know, it's nutcracker stuff. I don't care. I don't want to see men like that. I just don't. Anybody like that. I don't care for tight world. Okay. Robin shows up as soon as Batman's dealt with most of it. And that's you. That's me. See, you're fighting things that you don't got to fight. You're a sidekick. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be part of the victory. But you don't, you're not the one that's got to fight the main battle. Jesus and his Spirit. And that's why you read about Paul saying, walk in the Spirit. Doesn't say run. When you've done all to stand, stand. Stand in the Spirit. In the middle of this spiritual warfare, all you got to do is stand. Another place it says, Paul says in Ephesians, we were seated with Christ. That's all you got to do? Just be with him? Oh man, I just saved you 30 years. Then we see Jesus right at the end. I'd like to call the worship team at this time too. Thank you. Thank you, fine folk. Jesus right at the end tells his disciples, he says, I got to go do something. And you're going to partner with me, but there's a part of this you can't do. There's a part of this that you can't provide for yourself. You see, Rebecca was a Canaanite woman. Hello, Canaanite? Rebecca was a Canaanite woman. The children of Israel hadn't been started yet. We didn't even have Israel yet. We didn't even have Jacob yet. She was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile woman. She couldn't be brought into this family any other way than relationship. There's a part of this that you're never going to get until you fully surrender to Christ and his Spirit. And it was Eleazar that came and gifted her and blessed her. She would have never had any of those things. She goes on to marry Isaac to become a heir with the family of Abraham. These Canaanite people are pagans. You know, like you used to be. You forgot, but there was a time in your life when you were a pagan with a capital P. Yep. What's a pagan? Somebody that is a mess. And God sent his Spirit to you. And now you're part of the family of God. And Jesus said, I'm going to deal with this part, guys. I'm going to deal with this part because this part you can't do. And he went all the way to the cross with the Spirit of God. He said from the cross, into thine hands, I commend my spirit. And that's the that's the oven and the flaming torch that Abraham sees in the original covenant where the animals are split. And Abraham sleeps while they go through and walk the blood covenant together. God did that part for you, but he did more. He gave you his Spirit so that you could have favor, so that you could be blessed. We should have that koinonia with God. Did you know that Abraham eventually and Isaac met Rebecca? You know who her dad was? I don't have time, but her dad was Laban. Laban's a loser, okay? If he went to heaven, he's probably going to punch me in the gut. But he was. Her life was so much better. But that's all she ever knew. But she had to leave Laban to be Isaac's wife. You have to leave this world in your heart right now.